Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining us for It's Good Sometimes, a mini podcast for busy people who feed kids. We are your hosts, Lauren and Tammy, registered dietitians, co-founders of On Solid Ground Nutrition, and parents. As always, this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only and does not replace advice from your primary healthcare provider or any specialist you are working with.
We are super excited because today we have a special guest and our first interview. So I'm going to let our special guest, Sarah Jemeniak, introduce herself and tell everyone a bit about you.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Hi, guys. Hi. Thanks for having me on. I'm happy to be here. So, yes, I'm Sarah Jemeniak. I also live in the Greater Vancouver District, and I am a mother to an 8-month-old little boy, Eli. And I know Lauren and Tammy because I used to be a dietitian as well, and we went to school together. And I'm very grateful that we've kept in touch and that I get to be here today. A little bit more about me that I think will be relevant to what we talk about is, I'm no longer a dietitian. I actually transitioned into more of a coaching work. And I work with individuals with eating disorders. And I also have my own lived experience of an eating disorder. And so obviously that's going to, I think I'm still figuring out how, but I think in some way that will, influence how I do feeding and eating with Eli. So I'm sure that will come up during our conversation.
Thanks for that. We're so excited to have you. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause we've been friends now, I think for almost 10 years, right?
I know. That's crazy.
It's a long time.
Yeah. We started in like 2011. Was it? That's crazy.
Yeah.
So
it's been a while. So I think kind of you mentioned that Eli is your first baby, right? And he's about 8 months. And so you just started solids a couple months ago?
Yeah, just a few weeks after, or a week and a half after he turned 6 months-ish.
Yeah, and so that can, I know from a lot of parents, that can feel pretty overwhelming. And just there's a ton of information out there and kind of competing information about kind of how you should do it and what you should give. And so I was just wondering, kind of with starting solids or the feeding relationship, what would you say is kind of the thing that you felt most overwhelmed by, or have you felt overwhelmed? Because you may not, right?
Yeah, no, it's kind of morphed. I feel like before I started, I was feeling overwhelmed definitely with all of the information out there, like I just saw all these terms being kind of thrown around that I had no idea what they meant. I'm like, oh, I didn't realize there were so many different camps here. So I'm like, okay, this is going to take me some, because I like, before I jump into something, I like knowing the lay of the land and figuring out what I want to do and why. Like, why would I do this? What are the pros and cons? Why would I not do that? What are the pros and cons? So I'm like, oh, this is going to take some research. So that was a bit daunting. But it actually didn't take as long for me to kind of start somewhere as I thought it would. But then the starting, I don't know how much, should I go into like a little bit of detail of kind of what it looks like?
Yeah, I mean, I know I get like, that's some of the feedback we get from parents a lot is kind of that first child and that first experience feeding can really feel like a ton of pressure from external sources. So even, especially social media, I think Tammy and I ran across like 100 foods under one or something on the internet. Right. Like there's so many things. And as a new parent, it can just feel like a lot to kind of wade through that information.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe I'll talk a little bit about, what it looked like for us starting out. Cause obviously with a dietetics background and then my own background is a lot of, this was a big thing. This wasn't something I was just going to like jump into and take lightly, like I wanted to do it right. Quote. So, right away, I guess I got the sense that like baby led weaning was like the new thing, like spoon feeding purees was somehow like out. And I was there are all these benefits to baby led weaning. So I'm like, okay, so I need to figure out why I wouldn't do this. Like by default, I'm like, this is, I guess, what this thing is now. So someone had recommended Solid Starts, as like a resource. So then I read like about them. I'm like, oh, these look like they look really reputable. They have like all these like pediatric specialists on the team and all these things. I'm like, okay, this looks pretty reputable. So I read the baby led weaning book by the original author, and that was like kind of helpful. But then I started getting into some of the solid start stuff. And so it seemed really reputable. And I don't go on social media that much for mother stuff. So I think that's helped a lot. So I kind of just was like, okay, this is what we're going to do because this seems reputable and these are all experts in the field. So why not just do this? So, and I have some other moms from my like postpartum prenatal group and they were all doing it too. So I'm like, okay, this seems like the thing to do. So we jumped in and, I followed it pretty closely with what we should do, but he had some really scary, like, I have to get him out of the high chair because he resolved it. But there were two times where it was so scary and he looked so panicked. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, so I was kind of like, well, I don't know about this. And I rewatched the videos of like the babies gagging and stuff. I'm like, he's different than those babies. Like he tends to just shovel. Like he was just putting so much in his mouth and then he would just like start trying to swallow it. Like he wouldn't gag it out. He just like, and then he goes, oh, and he like totally panic and terrible to watch. And I knew I wasn't supposed to get it out of his mouth. I was like, well, that was very nerve wracking. And I'm like, my anxiety is going to transfer. Cause I could tell I was like super, I was like bracing myself before meals. And like, this isn't good. So, like, this isn't good for him or me. So then for some reason I hadn't even looked at Ellen Satter's stuff. Cause I thought, you know, she was more about the relationship with food and maybe not so much the practicalities. So I hadn't really done her stuff, but then I started exploring her stuff and realized she has her own videos on starting solids that kind of contradict baby led weaning a little bit, but I saw where she was coming from. So I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to back off. Like, you know, I'll still do baby led weaning basically, but I think he just needs softer. Like he's not gagging stuff out. I'm going to have to be more careful here. And then
So I really like that point because I know I was recently having a conversation with another mom who has a 7-month-old and same type of thing. Like they were trying baby led weaning because that's kind of the information definitely on social media that they have seen.
Yeah.
And she was asking me about it. And my first question was, so how do you feel about gagging? Like how, like sit with it for a moment and tell me how you feel about it. And how do you feel about choking? Right. And they were both like, it's awful. Like we actually don't feel good about watching that. So I was kind of like, okay, so it's okay to kind of find one to really look at your child and see how they're responding and then also pivot and adapt and kind of be attuned to your needs and their needs. Right. And for a lot of parents, that is really uncomfortable, to kind of go right in. And I'm not picking either camp, but to just go right into baby led weaning can feel really overwhelming and scary. Yeah. Right. And so
I know,
I think, yeah, like I think that kind of pivoting and just doing what works for you is that's a big lesson in parenting, right?
Yeah, exactly. I felt good about that. Yeah, I'm like, you know what? We're going to tailor this to him. And I don't know what it falls into, but we'll just kind of, totally. So it's been going a lot better.
That's a good point too, is the like not having to like be in a camp.
Yeah.
Right. And kind of like, I am doing the thing and I'm doing it right. Right. Yeah. Like kind of being able to be like, so this, like bits of this make sense and bits of this make sense to me. Cause I always think of, we had a instructor at some point. So Jerry Kasten is like, I'm a super fan and we all had him as a professor or as an instructor. Totally. And he, one of his big things when he was talking to moms was that like puree also is a texture. And I was like, right. Which kind of gets missed sometimes. Like it is also, we eat many things as adults that are in fact pureed. So like, it is also like, there is room for that as well. Right.
Yeah. That's a really good way of putting it. Yeah. I know it gets a very bad rap, but it is.
And also they get there, right? For the most part, right? So most of us ourselves started on purees and we, for the most part, can eat different textures. And so
that's a really good point. I'm not a picky eater and my mom definitely did the typical, you know, phase one, whatever it used to be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think there's that fear as a first-time parent of just getting it right. Like, you really want to get it right. And it's like, it's kind of the longer you're a parent, you realize that there is a lot of pivoting, right? And you're just trying to kind of, as Tammy said, figure out what makes sense to you and feels good to you.
Well, and tunes into your child. Yeah. It's like the whole idea of responding to their needs is really, it's just really lovely that you got there early because I didn't.
I didn't have much choice. I felt bad for like not being more attuned to him in the first place to avoid those like choking moments. Oh my God. But luckily he's rebounding. He doesn't seem scared of food. I was like, oh God, I mean, terrified of food. Yeah. So.
I mean, their gag reflex is pretty good, but it is pretty. And I can tell you with my second, she was very different. Like my first definitely started on purees, partially because of my comfort, and she seemed to really enjoy them. Then my second, I think because she was watching her sibling, definitely wanted, she was just grabbing for whole foods, like to like cut up pieces and really wanted them. Aww. So she seemed to be able to manage that developmentally a little bit easier. So it is, as Tammy said, kind of being also attuned to what they're doing, right?
Totally. I think they are so different. I was just going to say that the overwhelm has, I feel like, pivoted since then. And now it's just about like, how do you fit it all in? Like I know Solid starts kind of says like 1 to 2 meals a day for 6 to 7 months, but Eli's going to be 8 months on Monday. And then we're supposed to be doing like 2 meals. And it just takes so much time. I'm like, how am I going to like go out and do like, is it okay? Should I just prioritize meals and just stay home if that's what it means? Anyways, we'll figure it out. But
yeah, and I think prioritizing your family and what, like, it is about being adaptable, right? And being able to bring that out as you go. And it is, when they're that young, it can feel really overwhelming.
Yeah, the setup and the cleanup.
It's messy. Yeah.
Besides your own stuff too, right? Like, if they're not on the same kind of schedule as you.
Totally. Totally. I know.
I mean, maybe that segues me into the next question, which is like, what about pressures that you feel around parenting? Kind of, you've spoke about like sort of doing it right, or kind of and professionally, and perhaps relatives or like anybody who's kind of like, what are the pressures that you're kind of, pressure points that you're feeling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking about that. I think ultimately the biggest one is from me. Like, I feel like I'm being pretty, just having pretty high standards of myself, just because, you know, I'm like, got the background in it. And also, like, the worst thing would be for me to have gone through, you know, my own experience with the eating disorder and to somehow have, like, pass on anything but, like, a joyful, beautiful, neutral relationship with food to my son. So there's kind of a high expectation there that I should know better if there are any issues for him in the future. So I think there's a lot of just self pressure from myself in that respect.
Can I interject?
And then
so I think I totally understand how that pressure could be there. I do want to say that I think it's important to try and be gentle on yourself, because as a parent, you're going to have lots of things that you're not going to feel probably great about, or maybe that's my personal experience. Totally. But also, having a history of an eating disorder, it's multifactorial, right? So you know this better than anyone. It's not, there are so many factors to it, right? So that play
not assuming he'll develop one.
I think it's unlikely because you're pretty aware and attuned, but also it's our kids. Tammy probably knows this better than I do. Like, you have three different ones and they've grown up in the same environment and they're all very different, right?
They are very different. And so Lauren is the one that always is kind of like, and like in the gentlest possible way, like, people are going to, we cannot keep our kids from pain all the time. and I think like we can try our best to kind of be there and tune in and do all of these things. And we can't always.
We can't a lot. Like, they actually need, it's okay for them to be on, like, I can give you an example. Yesterday we had a race in the hall and my husband beat my 3-year-old daughter, and she was very upset and sobbing. And I was like, yeah, it's really hard when you lose. And I was like, I'm not even going to sugarcoat this, right? I'm not going to make it nice and figure out a way. Because I was like, that is okay to feel discomfort and sadness. And it is our desire to avoid that, which takes away from children building resiliency, or that is my belief. Sitting with that discomfort is hard. Yeah. And it is even harder as a parent to watch your child sit with discomfort, or it has been for me, but I am not going to shy away from it. Like, I am going to sit beside her and support her with that discomfort to build that resiliency. But I think
in the smaller things,
in the smaller
right?
things. Oh yeah, I'm not. I'm not like, but I don't want to sound like a complete a-hole. But I do think, yeah. And I didn't grow up like I was not. My parents aren't comfortable with emotions, right? They don't listen to my podcast, so I can say that. they don't. But that is not something that they are comfortable with. So I think it's really important to allow. So I guess want to say that, like, be gentle with yourself. And I'm not minimizing your fear, because that's a real fear. There's many factors, right? And I kind of always, and I say this to Tammy too, like, love and safety. If you provide those for your child, like, I think they are doing really well, right? Like, everything else is kind of minutia, but like, love and safety is really kind of the foundation, which I know you have in your home.
Sure. And it would also be
even that I'm like running through my head.
You do. I know you have that in your home. So, because I know you personally. So,
and if you don't 100% believe that, that's also normal.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you. Yeah. It's hard to be like,
does he feel safe? No, I don't even know for sure. I think that's a theme for me, is just like, bringing back the self-compassion.
Yeah.
The self-compassion focus, which I'm usually pretty good about, but then when it's, you know, someone else's life, like,
if you decide to have a second, like, a lot of that will be gone, because you just don't have the brain space to. I feel like it kind of, your expectations lower.
That's what I fall back on sometimes, because I'm like, oh my God, I've been so busy. And John and I yesterday were feeling like, we're like, oh my God, we've just been running around this week, and poor Eli is just like, you know, we haven't had a good quality time. And I'm like, well, plus side, it wouldn't be any different if he had an older sibling. Like, we'd be running around and he wouldn't get this like time where we're just sitting on the mat with him, paying attention to what he's playing with all the time.
Or if he had 7 siblings, right? Like, my brother-in-law has a family of 8. Like, it's not like they were getting a ton of one-on-one time, probably. I mean, I don't know, but I can just guess. But we're getting totally off topic. So, so one thing I really want to ask, I haven't actually met your husband, John, personally, but I wanted to find out kind of what, how has it been with the feeding when you kind of started solids for dad? Or do you have a sense of how it's been for him? Because I know a lot of times dads can kind of feel like they don't know where their place is when, as far as it comes to feeding. And has he been involved kind of with that process? Or is he kind of deferring to you because you do have a dietetic background?
Right. Yeah. He definitely has kind of given, well, I feel like for the whole thing, even with the pregnancy, everything, I'm the one, he thinks I go a little bit overboard, but he knows I'm the one who like does all the reading and like, it's like, okay, this is what we're going to do, because I've read all these books on it and I've decided this is what we're doing. So he's fine with deferring to me for that. So we kind of already had that pattern set up. So it's no different with the eating. It doesn't seem to mind. If anything, I think he's kind of grateful that he doesn't have to take that on. But so no like butting heads in terms of what we're doing. He's been comfortable with it.
Have you found that there's been any differences? Because I know, we're going to be interviewing my partner.
Give me an example, because I feel like it has been very smooth. But what possible ones?
So I think just even how we respond to, like, if we are focused on kind of responsive feeding or the feeding relationship, and kind of bringing in different frameworks. You mentioned Ellen Satter, which is a framework Tammy and I use quite a bit. But kind of even little things, like when you start to feed kind of pressure at the dinner table, or are you sure you're full? Do you want to take one more bite? Or kind of just, I guess, that pressure or lack of structure. I mean, Eli's pretty young still. Those would kind of be my kind of first two that would pop in my head. Do you have any that you would think of, Tammy?
Well, or even just the kind of feeling involved, I guess, right? Like kind of being the person who's like, well, I'm going to make the whatever it is we're making today, or and I'm comfortable, because I think this is sometimes a thing that pops up, and certainly popped up in our house. And I've definitely heard dads talk about this before, is the idea that like they're not doing it right, so they're like not really sure, like right. They're not really sure, and so it's like there's a little bit of hesitancy, like, or confidence, right? That is sometimes the thing. Right. So
No, that's a good point. Kind of thing. It has actually been really smooth so far. Like it looks like, I think John and I are really on the same page when it comes to food and eating. Like John knows about my own, like, you know, history with eating, and like, he's got a great relationship with food, like really, really good. So he just wants to make sure that, yeah, he's like, I just want to like have a lot of fun with Eli in the kitchen. He's like, I want us to like have like traditions where we go out for brunches. And Aww. He's like, I want to cook with him every weekend morning. And he's like, I just really want to, he's like, I just want to make like delicious food with him. I just want to make like delicious food. I want it to be really fun. I'm like, okay, I know he's there. And yeah, he's very, yeah, you know what, throughout it, I'm like our values are very in line. So I think I have been lucky there. If anything, maybe, and he doesn't, he takes direction, so he does often prep the food, but I mean, he knows, he's like, hey, no added salt, no added sugar for now. And other than that, I just kind of like, hey, can you make Eli an omelet? We need to do some like egg and salmon today for allergens. He's like, okay, we'll like make him a little omelet. Aww. That's fine. Sometimes I'll critique it. I'm like, it's a little bit hard and like dry, but otherwise it's okay with it. I'm always the one who like sits with him and does the cleanup. But yesterday for the first time, I had to run to something before Eli could finish eating. So John had to, for the first time, sit with him by himself and then do the cleanup after. And we both kind of accepted that it was just going to, Eli's clothes were just going to get stained, but they actually didn't. He actually did okay. So I'm like, okay.
The stains, so, I would buy some stain remover.
Oh, yes. Well, okay. So he also does like the long sleeve.
Yeah. The smocks.
Pretty good. Yeah. The smocks. Yeah. But no. Yeah.
It does not. I feel like it, I mean, I don't. Mine now at almost four, it's better for the most part. Yeah. But
okay, that's a long time.
But my younger one just loves food, markers, anything she can like get on her body, on her clothes. She really kind of has a lot of enjoyment from that.
I'm prepared for that. Yeah, it lasts a while. But no, in terms of, maybe we'll run into some hiccups once Eli gets a little bit more like willful, and like how does John respond like to that, if there's like kind of battles of wills and stuff. But so far it's been
okay. That's really awesome.
That's great. Yeah. I mean that was not my experience. We'll get into that on another podcast episode, maybe when we interview my partner. But
yeah.
I feel like I'm a helicopter everywhere with everyone, so that was
probably great.
He had a lot of feedback, which he graciously took for the most part. But yeah, we had a lot of.
Yeah, I think every couple has their arenas where they like are really like kind of meshing on things, and then like, butting heads.
Yeah.
Totally.
For sure.
Yeah. So, but yeah, luckily that's been okay.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Go, John.
Yeah.
So far.
So just maybe as a final kind of wrap up, thinking about, because you kind of alluded to this before anyways, and it sounds like you do have hopes, right? So what would be your hope for Eli's relationship with food, with his body, with eating in general?
Definitely just as like the words that come to me, I guess, are just like, you know, as joyful as possible, as, you know, like neutral and self-accepting as possible. Also like competent, like he just kind of feels comfortable and confident around food and feeding himself and what his body's doing. Yeah, it's a tall order in this culture, I feel like. So I think you're right. Like we can only do so much, and I'm one influence, but then once he's in school and, you know, around other kids and teachers, like there are going to be other influences too. But Yeah, that would be my hope for him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like kind of with every area for him, just kind of, I don't know, probably what I wish I'd had more of when I was younger, but just like lots of self-acceptance, I guess, like whatever. Yeah.
Kind of that internal security where you feel.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He feels like he can eat whatever he wants and it doesn't say anything about him and he's going to do what he wants to do. And yeah. Yeah. So that would be,
yeah. And I think
that would be my hope.
It's relevant for boys too, right? Like I think a lot of times people think, like this is just kind of, it mostly is for females, but I don't think that's true anymore. And there's a lot of pressure for boys and men.
Yeah. Well, and has been.
Yeah,
before we just didn't talk about quietly, it, like it's being recognized, and that's great.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. He might be subjected to maybe fewer comments from like other people. Maybe older generations won't like comment so much because he's a boy. But like, yeah, for sure. I feel like there's still so much pressure on them, and appearance is still huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it comes up in other ways too, right? Like, and we do not have to get into this a lot, but even things like being big and strong or being tall is a big one, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, I have a lot
to say about how we talk about height in this world, and I will save it.
We haven't gotten to that with him yet, but no, I could see that.
Yeah, just like the sort of positive associations with like certain traits that are like totally beyond our control, right? And
or owning that as something that you've done, right? Like this is like, wow, I'm tall. Like I'm going to actually take that on as a personal kind of, yeah, and it's not, right?
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, that, I mean, I love what you said too, because it kind of speaks to like a bunch of different things, right? Like for him to be self-accepting and kind of have that just feeling good about himself, but also the confidence and the competence, right? Like even when people feel good about themselves, they don't necessarily feel super comfortable around food or like know how to interact with it. But that's a really, like even what you were saying about John wanting to like, set up traditions and like cook great food on weekends and kind of bring in all the elements that make food really amazing, like all these roles of food. It's just really, it's really nice, right? To kind of have that as a.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I know John, like as much as he loves food and he really enjoys it and he doesn't have any like, you know, big hangups around it and stuff. But even for him, like I think growing up, he didn't do much in the kitchen. And he's always said that he has like a lot of like food anxiety, just like not knowing what he's going to make for his next meal. Mm-hmm. And it makes him like very anxious, like not knowing. So yeah, it's interesting. Like there are definitely different dimensions to like a kind of a good relationship.
And pairing with food. Right? Like a lot of times, like if you haven't spent a lot of time in the kitchen, like as dietitians, we took a food class, and I think we have a natural ability because we were interested in food, but like looking,
challenge that a little bit.
But I think we were interested enough in food that we went to dietetic school.
Sure.
So generally, like when you open the fridge, you can kind of look what's in there and probably piece something together. And I get that feedback a lot that like, Fergal feels it's a natural skill that I have, and it's not. It's that I grew up around cooking, and then also, I look at recipes when I'm stressed out. Like that is what relaxes me, right? So I have that skill, I don't think of it as a skill, but he definitely does, right? Like he actually needs more structure.
Yeah, it's funny the things we take for granted, because like John thinks I'm like weird that I'm like aware of like what the protein is at the meal, and what this like the carb or the starch is, and I'm like, he like thinks I'm like really up. I'm like pretty normal meal planning, I think, but like not to him. So we'll see. But yeah, we're in the very early stages, so yeah, lots of new things coming up with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think we're going to wrap it up because this was definitely a bit of a longer one, but we knew that. And we really want to thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Hopefully that was relevant. I know I go off on tangents.
We go off on tangents all the time.
We're right there, right? Yeah.
We really appreciate it. I just want to let everyone know where we can find Sarah. Her website is Sarah.
my name. Yeah,
Gemeniac, which we are going .com, which we are going to post on our show notes. So if you do want to find her, that's where you can find her. And you can find us on Instagram at OSG Nutrition or our website, www.osgnutrition.ca. So yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.